This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by AgriEdge from Syngenta for resourceful growers seeking to enhance productivity.
All right. You know, yesterday I wasn't sure how to feel about how the markets traded. Double that feeling today, but we'll get it sorted out. Take a look at the year ahead for livestock producers.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with John Nalivka from Sterling Marketing. And in the final segment, the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Ooh. Wow. What a day, huh? What a day.
Did something happen today?
Yeah.
Is there anything to talk about?
I think it did. And it's still happening when you get right down to it with all the comments and the analysis and the rhetoric, the narrative that's being thrown around.
Yes.
It's really, really quite amazing. I've over the years, I've conditioned myself when it comes to watching the news, listening to news.
Yeah.
I always flip back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
For example, yeah, I'll just say it. One day I'll watch Fox News while I'm doing prep work. The next day I'll watch CNN.
Huh.
All right? Get a little different perspectives.
But
on a day like today where I know where my biases go,
Sure.
You know, but on a day like today, I will throw CNN on and listen to it exclusively just to kind of balance myself out.
That's probably a good idea.
I try anyway. And the coverage today of the strike in Baghdad on CNN has been remarkably balanced.
Really? That's terrific.
Yeah. It has been. It's been remarkably balanced because they've done some reporting, some actual reporting, and are laying claim to some of the information that is coming out on the on how everything came about, how it was decided that now is the time that we need to go after this guy from Iran, The reporters themselves are asking the right questions. They're doing they're doing a nice job of, I think, of reporting on the issues. Is it being done differently on Fox? I flipped over for a little bit, and unquestionably, it is being done differently on Fox because of the list of guests that they're having on to talk about it.
Okay,
but the reporters are basically all doing the same thing as they're trying to figure out exactly what happened. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
What's next? And what is the strategy with Iran going forward? Our good friend Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group had a very good tweet here just a little bit ago. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it's so important to remember this. The White House tried the diplomatic route 6 months ago with Iran. They tried the diplomatic route 4 months ago with Iran.
Yep.
The general that was, you know, I won't call it an assassination. He was killed on a battlefield.
Yeah.
He was.
I'd buy that.
The UN ruled that the guy cannot leave Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was killed in Baghdad, Iraq.
Yep.
Now, with all due respect to Jackson, the song, why can't I think of his first name? I want to say Andrew Jackson.
Joe.
No, don't know the difference between Iraq and Iran. We do know the difference between Iraq and Iran.
Are you talking about Tito?
Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson. I went straight to Tito.
I couldn't get it out. Good grief. But all due respect to Alan Jackson, we do know the difference between Iraq and Iran.
We do.
And the guy was a bad, bad guy. I don't think anybody is arguing that. Mm-hmm. I think what people are arguing was now the question, was now the time to take him out or not?
Well, I think that's stupid. I think that's stupid. Whenever you have government officials
today
from other countries who lead movements that end up in people rioting in the streets shouting "Death to America."
Yep.
If you saw that here, "Death to Iran." Well, maybe you could be concerned and raise the point that these guys are absolute lunatics. They're only out for blood. Well, we don't really have that going on here. Like you said, we try the diplomatic way.
Right. And the argument is being made that opportunities to take this guy out were had in previous administrations.
Well, really? nothing spells
then
opportunity.
Why didn't we do it?
Right. Nothing spells opportunity like a burning embassy.
Right. Why didn't we do it? Because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deaths of Americans that can be tied directly to this guy.
Yep.
And now we don't have to worry about him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge blow to the terrorist movement in the Middle East.
They said they're going to take 3 days off to mourn, and then they will be back to retaliate.
With crushing retaliation.
Yeah.
I'd say we better get ready for it. Skip the first item. What else is in the news?
Yeah. Let's see. We got U.S. wheat futures taking price cues from the European wheat market at the start of 2020. We expect that to continue for at least a few weeks as traders focus on global export prices. Some traders are also growing concerned about dry conditions in the U.S. Central and Southern Plains. March hard red futures 10.25 lower, 4.75 even. March soft red futures off 5.75, 5.54.5. March spring wheat down 10.75, 5.47.5.
It was the day when traders were running away from risk. It was evident in grain commodities. It was evident in equities. Mm-hmm. The only place that it didn't show up was in energy commodities. Okay, and that's because of the concerns over the supplies coming out of the Middle East.
Optimism over the potential for increased export demand for U.S. corn, corn-based ethanol, and DDGs from China in the months ahead was offset by the geopolitical uncertainty resulting from the U.S. strike. March corn futures tested resistance at this week's high of 392 before retreating to test support at the bottom of the sideways trading range near 386. March futures narrowly avoided serious technical damage by recovering from session lows to close just a tick above support at 382.25. March corn futures off a nickel, 386.5. July corn down 4.75, 399.25. December 2020 corn, $4.75 down 3.75, Chip.
Yeah, still above the momentum indicators in the corn market, but just barely.
Yep. Market watchers agree the conflict with Iran will not influence the planned January 15 signing of the Phase 1 trade agreement with China, but some caution today's hefty pressure on soybean and lean hog prices could be a signal the conflict with Iran could further strain relations with China. Also, crop watchers say dry conditions in Brazil are relatively small, and a chance for rain next week may have provided funds with no confidence to step back in to the sell side of beans. March bean futures 14.75 lower, 941.5. July beans fell 13.25 to 967.75. November beans 971.5 down 9.25. Almost feels like an opportunity here to buy.
Well, you know, I think I'd make it prove it. I would make it prove it early next week that the market is done going to the downside. I've never been one to recommend to anyone to step in front of a market that sold off 14, 15, 16 cents.
All right.
And sometimes you got to give it a chance to start to recover first.
Sage
All right.
advice. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be having a conversation here with John Nalivka, Sterling Marketing, coming up in just a bit. Before we get to that, we'll get to the livestock news and continue the conversation with Davis. Willis Jepson is a seventh-generation farmer along the Kentucky-Tennessee border. A few years ago, he enrolled in Syngenta's whole farm management program, AgriEdge. Willis, you call yourself a sort of technology junkie. You already collected a lot of data from your fields, but how has AgriEdge helped you take advantage of that?
You know, we manage zones that are anywhere from an acre to no more than maybe 7 or 8 acres in this 150-acre field. So that's allowed us to, instead of making broad blanket applications and spending money, we know for a fact that using the technology, we are saving product every time we make applications.
Thank you, Willis. That is Willis Jepson along the Kentucky-Tennessee border. You can find out more about AgriEdge by reaching out to your local Syngenta rep
or heading to www.agraedge.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Commodity Classic is the place to renew your passion for agriculture.
This is my third time at the Commodity Classic. It is just such an exciting place. If you're in agriculture and you come down here and you don't get excited, you shouldn't be in agriculture. Every year I come home, I take something away. And every year I come home and I'm excited. I can't wait for spring to get here now.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Soil needs plants to stay healthy, just like plants need soil to survive. Nature thrives on forming connections. Farmers thrive on forming them too. With Indigo Marketplace, we're setting out to connect every farmer with every buyer, making it easier to find a market for the things that make your farm unique. Visit indigoag.com/questions to find out more. Indigo. From questions, we grow.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
All right, welcome back.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis with me.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about all kinds of different issues today. The first segment there, obviously, we were focused quite heavily on the events that happened overnight with the U.S. airstrike on the airstrip in Baghdad that took out Iran's top military general. This guy was like a cult hero in the Middle East. Did you notice that?
Well, and I saw one report, and I, you know, who knows at this point in a story like this, but they were calling him the number two in the country as far as the military goes or something like that. I mean, he was a big shot.
Oh, very much a big shot. Very much. And among the small little offshoot terrorist groups that are scattered all over the Middle East, he was the man.
He
was the man that they looked to for leadership. There are some think tanks that I've been trying to read their reactions from this morning, but some think tanks out of the Beltway, out of D.C., that say that taking this guy out was bigger than taking bin Laden out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What concerns me is something that we generally see in the Middle East and in, you know, well, you see, you can see it anywhere. But when a guy like that is removed from his position, one way or the other, I guarantee there's a guy who's in line and possibly a couple trying to get his job working on their plan.
Right.
Working on their plan to make a big splash so that they can be the man.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue in the argument of when do you take somebody like – when do you remove somebody like that from the picture?
Yeah.
Because if the replacement that is in – if the planned replacement is worse than what you're dealing with.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it definitely becomes an issue. No question about that. Hey, we're trying to make contact with John, but before we got a little bit of livestock news that we can cover, don't we?
Absolutely we do. I can talk about light cash cattle trade in Kansas at 124 and in Iowa at 125. That means cash and front month live cattle futures are aligned. That's taken some buying incentive out of the futures market. February cattle futures were $1.05 lower, 124.72.5. April cattle futures off 80 cents, 126.67.5. March feeders dropped 105 to 142.67.5.
Yeah, there goes your link between lower feeder cattle prices and higher corn prices that we saw yesterday.
Right.
You know, because corn prices are under some pressure today off a nickel, and we still saw the pressure on feeder cattle prices. So that normally that connection between higher corn, lower feeders, lower corn, higher feeders, it's kind of a convenience thing that's easy to talk about in the cattle complex.
Yeah, Todd Bubba Horowitz completely rejects that notion.
Yeah,
he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Right. I would imagine that is completely the case. And long term, there can be a connection, but it's kind of like watching the U.S. dollar and its impact on exports.
Mm-hmm.
One day does not make a trend. And in this case, you'd have to see corn trending in one direction to have much of an impact on cattle prices.
Yeah.
Now, if it happens on a day like next Friday, January 10th, and you get a big move to the upside, and guys are sitting at the sale, get a big move to the upside in corn, and it's because of a smaller than expected 2019 corn crop estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can have an influence on the cash market because guys know that, and they're sitting at the sale barn in western Iowa or out in Kansas or in Nebraska, and they see that happening. They may back away from the feeder cattle cash market. As far as having a big impact day-to-day on futures, that's kind of a stretch.
Meanwhile, a tremendous amount of optimism over the Japan deal, which came into effect just the other day. But it's really too soon for us to have anything for traders to trade off of, any indication as to how soon and how large that demand might be. But I still feel like, is it possible it maybe kept a floor under us here, at least under these circumstances?
I think it definitely has done that. It's discouraged some selling, or at least made the sellers less willing in that cattle trade leading up to January 1. But then you got to take on the Ed Usset attitude. Ed was on the show earlier this week from the University of Minnesota. And he says, I'm from the Gopher State, and but he's taking on a Missourian attitude. You got to show me when it comes to China trade. You got to show me when it comes to Japan trade. The U.S.-Japan trade agreement that we've got in place is a good agreement. It puts us back on an equal playing field or a level playing field with New Zealand and Australia, primarily, that's what I'm concerned about. When it comes to beef trade into Japan, it helps us out with wheat. We can't forget that. Barley, some of the other products that some of the other commodities that we can trade to Japan that we were at a disadvantage of because of the CPTPP. Now, the bilateral agreement between the U.S. and Japan, it helps us out on wheat. It helps us out on barley. It helps us out on some of those products that are produced up in the Northern Plains. But the big win, as far as I can tell from the language, the big win is going to be for beef. Now, this does not mean that it's tariff-free going into Japan. Okay? There are still quotas in place. There are still tariffs in place. And in this case, let's just call them taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're not retaliatory tariffs. They are tariffs that are maintained by Japan, who is a notorious spender on defending its domestic ag production.
Mm-hmm.
They spend more freely than the U.S. They spend more freely than Europe to defend the domestic ag industry there. So they're keeping those tariffs in place to help support domestic beef production. That's why those tariffs are there. It's not in retaliation at all. So it's let's see the trade get started. Now that now that we've gotten past the first of the year, if we can see some meaningful beef sales to Japan over, you know, before the end of the month, I'm going to call it a win.
Okay.
I'm going to call it a win, and I'm going to be fairly encouraged by that, dude.
I can live with that.
Okay?
Okay.
And all in all, it's going to have an impact on how these feed yards perform in the year ahead. We've got John Nalivka on the line with us now.
I see that.
John is with Sterling Marketing. He joins us right now. John, thank you so much for making time for us. How are you?
I am doing good, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Hey, I know that you're going to be at TPS, Top Producer Summit, at the end of this month, but we were just talking about the feed yard and how things are looking for them in 2020. When we get things started, the outlook for the feed yard's really pretty good, isn't it, John?
It is, and one thing that has a great deal to do with that is that the break-evens are not out of hand as we go into the year, so the break-evens are ranging in that 115 to 120 area. Of course, I mean, you can change that if you get, you know, the weather changes that some, but
sure.
But when they placed the cattle, given the cost of the cattle, they were manageable, and I think provides a pretty good outlook for feeding margins here during the first half of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about the impact of corn prices on feeder cattle prices, and then it doesn't long term, if you get the corn market trending in one direction or the other, it can have an impact on feeder cattle, but short term, not much of an impact there. What about on those feeder cattle and the cow calf guy, John? I'd like to see healthy at the base of an industry, and that's our base right there. Are they going to be making any money?
I think it's going to improve quite a bit over where we were this year, and a lot of that has to do, Chip, with the, I think we brought this inventory and brought these numbers down during 2019. I've got the inventory down, you know, 1 to 2%, you know, okay. Closer to down 2%, given the heifer slaughter and cow slaughter last year, you know, and our, you know, both were, in fact, our heifer slaughter, you know, looking at that relative to the herd was the highest it's been since, you know, going back to 2000 and, you know, 2012 or 2010, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So, I think it looks pretty positive, and I think there's a lot of room for some support on prices on for going, you know, the cow, calf, the feeder cattle price.
Okay. Hey, John, hang on the line with us. I want to talk with you some more after we get through this break. The question that I want to start with is, does this increase in heifer slaughter and cow slaughter that we saw in 2019, how does that fit in the longer-term cycle of the cow herd? That's where I want to go next. And we're talking with John Nalivka. John is with Sterling Marketing. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in just a moment.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Ponchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a Corn Roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
It's time for AgriTalks Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at February crude oil futures today. Just before Christmas, I pointed out that crude seemed to be headed higher, and that has certainly been the case. Optimism about global economic growth and demand in the wake of the U.S.-China trade agreement is very likely playing a major role in the advance. The Feb contract looked like it might be running out of gas early this week, but it vaulted to $64.09 per barrel at today's top, which marked an eight-month high on the weekly continuation chart before closing at $62.97. Nothing says the market can't continue climbing in the short run, but the sharp rejection of the breakout attempt suggests the market may consolidate before resuming the advance. A retest of the $60 level now seems rather likely.
Okay. All right. A little bit of a setback before we maybe move higher again. Thank you, Dan. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Rockford's very own. Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Erie, PA, weren't they? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
You're thinking of somebody else. I think you're thinking of the Oneaters.
Oh, of course, as in, I wonder what happened to the Oneaters.
Yes.
Now I've got it.
I will guarantee that that was from Rockford. All right. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're talking with John Nalivka today from Sterling Marketing. Before we get back to John, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, March hard red futures were 10 and a quarter lower, 4.75 even. March soft red futures dropped 5 3/4 cents to 5.54 1/2. March corn futures were a nickel lower, 3.86 1/2. July dropped 4 3/4 to 3.99 1/4. March soybean futures, 14 3/4 cents lower, 9.41 1/2. Your Novi contract closed at 9.71 1/2, down 9 1/4 cents. On the livestock side, February cattle futures, 105 lower, 124.72 1/2. And March feeders dropped 105 to 142.67 1/2. Uncertainty over trade with China crept back into the lean hog market today, sending prices sharply lower. Feb hogs down the $3 daily limit, 68.55. April hogs off 285 to 75.15. Setting up for expanded limits there in the Fed.
Yeah, that hurt. I mean, because we've been kind of building up attitudes a little bit with this hog market. When you look at the premium that we've got out there in the spring and summer month contracts, the attitude was, well, maybe these nearby contracts just haven't done enough to reflect the demand that maybe is coming to this market, and then you get this kind of price action today and a sharp reaction. That's discouraging and hard to take. John Nalivka is our guest today. Give us a call if you want to talk about cattle, you want to talk about hogs. John's your guy. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Okay, John, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about, or you had mentioned the big heifer slaughter, the big cow slaughter that we saw in 2019. Everybody talks about a 10-year price cycle in cattle. I see it, but I see it as a herd cycle too. How does it fit? How does this year, how does 2019's heifer and cow slaughter fit with that long-term cycle?
Well, I think we, you know, we kind of felt like we were back on track on this, you know, 10, 12-year cycle, and it always gets disrupted, and we came out of those, you know, 200-year droughts and with a, you know, a 60-year, you know, liquidation sentence to a 60-year low, and came back in a couple of years of record prices and thought we were back on track. Well, a little bit of that the problem with that is that we've dropped these prices significantly from those record prices, and I don't think it's just the price in itself, it's the drop. These cow-calf guys, since those record prices in 2014, went through 5 years of, you know, 760, anywhere from, you know, 20 to 70% drops. And last year was one of those 70% drops in that return, you know. And I think after 5 years of that, and it's hard to get off of that, off of that mountain of record prices. So I think we just went into liquidation. You know, everybody was down in the mouth last year for the last 5 years. And last year was just kind of the end of the, you know, end of the road. And they said, enough's enough. And 2 years ago, they quit holding back as many heifers. And we've had higher cow slaughter the last 2 years. Our cow slaughter, you know, and last year will be up, beef cow slaughter's up, you know, is up 5% from the prior year. And that was coming off of 2018 with a high slaughter, and then we haven't kept any heifers. So the end result is you have fewer cattle now.
Right.
And, you know, and everybody knows if you reduce the herd, and I don't think it's guys that, you know, say, oh, well, we're just going to cut back these numbers and then that'll bring the prices up. I think they cut back the numbers because there was a lot of people that just were in pretty significant financial trouble.
Yeah.
And if anything, the banker, you know, they had the banker hammering on him, and at the end of the day, you know, even to the extent you call your herd and do that a little deeper, and then you don't hold back any additional replacement heifers. You know, at the best, you held your herd the same size and as it was with the same numbers, and probably in all likelihood you reduced the numbers.
Right.
So, and the other part of with these heifers too, you know, that's part of your revenue stream, and you're adding cost. You're going to have cost. You're not going to have revenue if you're holding replacement heifers, and also even on those cull cows, that's 10 to 12% of your revenue stream too. Yep. So, I think it was a matter of generating revenue, but I think we'll pull the numbers. I think this thing we'll have the numbers down this year, next year, and then. You know, and I'm getting mixed signals, Chip, from guys I've talked to on all the presentations I've given at cattlemen meetings over the last, you know, few months. And, you know, there's nobody talking about holding back additional heifers this year either.
Right.
At least the people that were, I mean, and these were guys that caught me out in the hallway and said, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. And it wasn't, you know, just being straight up about the whole situation.
Yeah. So, John, we've got our supplies tightening up for at least the next 2 years, as I see it. I agree with what you're talking about. So we've got our supplies tightening up over the next couple of years at a time when our demand is very good. We've got some renewed optimism on the export front because of the U.S.-Japan trade agreement. And we've got this economy in the U.S. that seems to be chugging along pretty good and encouraging some beef demand. I don't want to get too optimistic for what to expect out of this fat cattle market over the next couple of years, but there is reason to be encouraged.
Well, that was, I just sent an article over to Greg last night, and my last sentence, that was basically it, Chip. I said if demand demand continues to improve or at least remain steady, and I am optimistic, lower numbers will mean higher prices, and 2020 is going to be a much better year.
Yeah.
We're thinking the same end result here.
Yeah, I think so. So you got your feed yard where the profit margin looks to be improving for 2020. Our cow-calf guys, hopefully they can make some money in 2020. What about the other side of the industry, the packers? Are they going to be making any money in 2020? They're coming off unbelievable margins earlier this year. They're down around $100, maybe a little bit tighter than that now. But what's the outlook for them in 2020?
I've got the packers, remaining in pretty good shape, even with higher fed cattle prices this year. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll have enough on the cutout that the packer margin is going to remain relatively strong as well. And we've changed enough things. I think one of the big things, and I continue to say it, and I've said it all this year, is that the quality of the product is much better, and that we have seen an impact on demand as a result of that. We need to continue to stay running down that path. The quality and the value-added products, and that we found out, what consumers will buy. They'll buy quality, and they'll buy products that fit what they want, and that helps everybody.
You bet. I like that. And I love the fact that this time around, John, the consumer has told us what they want rather than the cattleman trying to tell the consumer what they want.
The consumer is saying what they want. The cattlemen are listening and raising the right kind of cattle.
That's right.
Be that way.
Yep.
I used to say many, many, many years ago, I was at a convention and somebody brought up something about, producing for the consumer, and the comment in the back of that room was that I don't produce steaks and roasts, I raise cattle. End of story.
Yeah.
And I thought at the time, that's not going to fly.
And there are still some that have that attitude, John, and I'll argue with them all day long, because if you can't sell the steaks and the roast, you can't sell your cattle.
No, and then you have no room to complain.
Right. Okay. I can't believe this. I'm going to leave you with a minute for this. here we go. Just give me your 1 minute scoop on what's happening in the hog industry.
Well, I think what we found out in the hog industry is that we're darn efficient. We can produce a lot of pork in this country to the extent that pork production exceeded beef production last year, will exceed beef production this year in the U.S. And I think we're finding out that, and I'm not denying that there's a lot of potential on the export side, particularly to China. But, you can produce a lot of pork, and African swine fever won't pull you out of that production enough.
Right.
I think we're finding out that still supply is still the dominant factor in this market.
Okay.
And I know I suspect we can probably get enough demand to overcome that supply, but it's right now that's pretty difficult to do.
Right.
And I've been thinking that a long time. Every time I get on the, and I think these prices, I think the futures is high on what we're seeing on the board for the lean carcass values right now. It's come off, and I think that's probably a result of, if everybody didn't get the hint about that last hogs and pig report. To be honest, real quickly, I was surprised. I didn't have the numbers up that strong, Chip.
Really?
I thought that the losses would kind of slow this thing down a bit, but there's no slowing. it started it started with new packer capacity, and it's being continued with ASF. You know?
Yep. Yep. The optimism over the demand that's coming into the market, or should be coming into the market, has really been pushing it. John, I'll see you at the end of the month out in Chicago at TPS. Yep. All right, buddy?
Looking forward to it, Chip.
I am, too. We ought to get together and have a steak. Maybe a pork chop, too. John Nalivka, Sterling Marketing.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm joined on this industry spotlight by Viren Popley, President and CEO of Mahindra North America.
Talk for a moment just about how big Mahindra is and how far back it dates.
We're a $22 billion global company. We started off in India. Actually, we started off assembling the Willys Jeep for World War II. And now we're the world's largest selling farm tractor company. We've been in the U.S. for 25 years. We're now the third largest tractor company in the U.S.
What makes Mahindra's tractor operations in the U.S. perhaps different than it is in the rest of the world?
Well, it is. So the product we design is very different for the U.S., right? Because the U.S., the temperature varies very differently. It's 100 to minus 10. And I think in India, if we were to make tractors for India, we'd probably make them for 130. So it's a little different. Also, in many parts of the world, our tractors will be used for 500 hours, 600 hours in a single year. Whereas in the U.S., our tractors are used for under 100 hours by many people. So we had to redesign our tractors in the U.S. for very different temperature and low usage rather than high temperatures and high usage.
Talk about the dealer network, because now Mahindra is popping up everywhere.
Well, we are doing pretty well. We've now gone to about 550 dealers, but we still cover about 55% of the country. We wanted to just slow down a bit because we want to consolidate. So that's why we want to grow the network carefully. We don't want to just sell tractors. We want to sell tractors that are backed by service and parts. We largely work with family-owned businesses. You know, the American dream is about being able to set up a business and being successful at it and being able to leave it for your children. This is one segment where you want to look the owner in the eye and say, do you have my back when the tractor breaks down? So that's the way we want to look at it, and that's how we want to grow.
For more information, visit MahindraUSA.com. With this industry spotlight, I'm Andrew McCray.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yep.
And we just had a conversation with one of the most matter-of-fact guys that I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, no bones about that.
No, that's right. Nalivka lives numbers and stats. And he just follows the movement. Yep. Follows the movement of the herd size, follows the movement in demand, and uses that to put together his projections on how the industry is going to be doing in the year ahead. So next couple of years, according to John, and I am not going to argue with him, the next couple of years really don't look too bad for the cattle industry in particular. Now, cattle industry, you got to remember, I still argue that there's a 10-year cycle that happens in this cattle industry. You get you get things bumped out because of the drought of that we had 2012, 2013 that caused liquidation. But that liquidation that we had depressed those prices for a long enough period of time because we were putting more beef on the market through the cow liquidation that when we stopped liquidating the cows and we had that smaller calf herd or calf crop, all of a sudden, then you extend past the year that ends in three when you typically see your cycle high, and we saw higher highs going into 14, going into 15 because of the reduced numbers and caused by that drought. Then, as you rebuild, typically you see your low in the year that ends in six. Now, you will revisit that low in the year that ends in eight or nine because of increases in supply and increases in female slaughter, the heifer and cow slaughter, because of the profitability out in the feed yard just isn't there. But the guys that have been feeding cattle for a long time understand that in that 10-year cycle, you got two or three years where you're going to lose your butt. You got 3 to 5 years where you're going to basically break even, and you got 2 to 3 years in that 10-year period that you are going to make money as quick as you can. And you live for those 2 to 3 years that you're making money and you maximize it. You minimize the losses in those 2 to 3 years, and you just kind of go along and feed cattle in those 3 to 5 years when you're breaking even. That's feeding cattle for a lifetime.
That's quite the sales pitch right there.
Well, there you go. You know, when everything's said and done, you just hope to end with as much as you started with.
Right. And a freezer full of steaks and roasts, I might add.
Amen to that.
Huh?
Amen to that. So, but if we can move more of the retail dollar down through the supply chain and put it in the feed yard, we can change those dynamics some over time. And I think maybe we're doing that. I think maybe we're doing that. We may be adding at least a year to the profitability in that 10-year cycle.
I really believe that.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
If you give me five, give me that which I desire.
Yeah. The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit ProFarmer.com. And now, Chip.
I like beef.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Big day. You know, you told us early on, and I said, well, gee, you know, we're off, what, 15, 16 cents, 12, 13 cents in soybeans. Maybe it's a buying opportunity. And you're like, well, no, let's make the market prove it.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chip. What? I don't know. No?
What'd you do?
I'm sticking by it.
Okay.
I've issued an advice alert. You know, Pam Good. Johnson this morning on the show got me thinking when she heard the news about the scuffle
over in Iraq and right. with Iran, her head went straight to diesel. Mm-hmm. And so did mine. So did mine. Let me just pull up a heating oil quote here really quick. That front heating oil. Okay, so we're off the highs. We were as high in Fed heating oil.
205.75.
205 and three quarters. We were up at 210 for a mm-hmm. short period of time there. So we're easing a little bit. Crude oil has pulled back a little bit as well. But it's been an interesting thing to watch diesel because we usually get that Santa Claus swoon. And I mentioned it in my writing. Yeah. We didn't get it this year. In fact, we were just a couple of ticks higher through the Christmas season. That makes me nervous, especially now if we're going to add a little bit of Middle East fear premium.
Right.
Into the petroleum market. So I recommended that subscribers and now listeners go ahead and hook into like half of your diesel for spring. And this way you can ensure if this thing gets away from us, you've at least got something done. And if it turns out prices go lower, well, shoot, we've still got the other half to fill. So we'll think okay. about how smart we are then.
Good.
But this week I'm actually unchanged at $2.44 per gallon regionally. Not a whole lot of movement from state to state. We had some huge moves last week. This week I've got Michigan down 4 cents, Wisconsin off 2, Nebraska down 1. Our only gainer, Minnesota, up a penny on the week. Once again, 244. Compare that to 254 this same time last week. So talk to your preferred retailer. Get some diesel booked if you can. Other than that, everything is pretty much lower. Vitamin K was our only gainer in the fertilizer segment, up 14 cents to 366.52. Meanwhile, anhydrous ammonia off 42 cents. Phosphates were both lower a couple of bucks. UAN solutions down just slightly. 28% is off 62 cents. 32% is down a buck 9. Urea once again led declines in the nitrogen segment. That's significant to me. $3.47 lower regionally at $372.76. Still priced above anhydrous ammonia. Still priced above expected new crop revenue. Actually below expected new crop revenue, but above our nutrient composite index on your urea there. Not quite sure what to make of that, but we're going to let it run before we do anything. You know, right now on the fertilizers, not much to do. You're asking me, should you book today? No, probably not. I think we've got a month or so yet before we're
going to
be ready.
You know, on your diesel move?
Yeah.
On your move in diesel, you were looking for the opportunity to do it anyway.
I was. I thought we would be yep. having this conversation last week on booking some diesel.
Right.
Let's not do tweets today. They suck anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are, and it does feel like time to get something done.
Right.
Because seasonally, we bucked the seasonal trend, which means it's got a little bit of upside built into it. And now,
well, and
like
the point
I said,
that I was the point that I was going to yeah. make is sometimes Go. You are forced to react.
Yes.
And the overnight yes. events deserve the reaction. So hats off to you, Davis. I think that was a good move.
Well, thank you. Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening today. For producer Joe Stackler, thank you so much. Thanks to John Lipka. Monday morning, Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Have a good weekend.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
When you think of the seasons of agriculture, you naturally think of planting and harvesting. I would also point out there is a learning season. It's coming up. It's just ahead for you producers. And there's an excellent opportunity to learn at the Farm Futures Business Summit. It'll be at the end of January at Coralville, Iowa. The theme this year is 2020 Clear Insights for a Profitable Future. It's the Farm Futures Business Summit, Coralville, Iowa. Go to farmfuturessummit.com for information.
Thanks to AgriEdge for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative to connect with an AgriEdge specialist in your area.